Imagine you're looking at a balancing scale with everything you do for other people on one side and everything you do for yourself on the other side. If it isn't balanced, maybe it's time to spend a little more time on you. And therapy is a great place to start. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can help you find that balance and stick to it. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
T-Mobile's network can help keep you connected to all your favorite podcasts when you're out and about. Whether you're an early bird looking to dive into a daily news podcast or a night owl who wants to catch up on the latest reality TV drama, T-Mobile will keep you connected on their strong and reliable network. T-Mobile covers more highway miles with 5G than anyone. So if you need great coverage, especially when you're on the go, check out T-Mobile. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/CY. That's SEEWHY.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The Philadelphia 76ers are out once again in the second round of the NBA playoffs, and we're down to the final four. And weirdly enough, or quirky enough, it's the same group, same four teams that were in the East and West finals back in the bubble in Orlando. So make of that what you will, but sometimes the more things change, the more they stay the same. There is something to be said for teams that keep their core guys together, okay? So not necessarily zero roster changes, but core guys and core leadership. That's why thinking about the Celtics' arc over the last year is pretty incredible, because they changed coaches and brought in a guy who had zero head coaching experience to take over when Ime Udoka was suspended last summer. When we welcome Steve Hewitt of the Boston Herald, I'll ask him about that arc, because, yeah, it's fascinating, and yet they're in the same place. Will they also return to the NBA Finals in back-to-back years? Losing to the Warriors, who are now out. We're going to talk Warriors and Lakers moving forward. The West Finals tip-off in Denver coming up on Tuesday. East will have to wait until Wednesday. So Monday is a dark night in the NBA. No games on the hard court, though there is a Game 7 on the ice. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. We're asking you, if the Sixers come to you and say, we desperately need your advice, what do you tell them about moving forward this offseason? Fire the coach, blow up the team, don't do anything? I feel like the post that producer Jay put up on Twitter is fairly leading. He doesn't give you the option of not doing anything. But at this point, no significant changes are made, though the questions loom over the Sixers. Doc Rivers being asked whether or not he believes that he'll be the coach of the Sixers moving forward, and what about his future?
Yeah, you know, I think I got 2 years left. So,
given the tenor of what's you've seen happen in the last two or three days, where coaches of the year, guys with titles.
Yeah, no one's safe in our business, you know, and I get that.
No one is safe in our business, and I get that. Monty Williams saw his entire roster, okay, most of it, saw most of his roster turn over at the deadline, and Chris Paul once again not available for the playoff series when they need him the most. And they get blown out in their building in game number 6 by the Denver Nuggets. On that last embarrassing note, he gets fired. Now, I got to tell you, I'm not sure there's a classier act in the NBA than Monty Williams. I wouldn't say stunned by this move, because I agree with Doc Rivers, no one is safe in our building. But four seasons for Monty Williams in Phoenix, and they were a championship contender. Did they win the title? No. They didn't win their first championship in franchise history. I get that. But honestly, I think sometimes it's the last sample size, the last exhibit that we get of a team, the last brutal taste for the fans and the new Suns owner. Remember, there's a brand new owner we just talked to. Ann Myers Drysdale, who's in the front office of the Suns, the night before they get blown out in game number 6. And I asked her about the new culture. And she said, it's positive, it's upbeat, it's all about winning. So here's new Suns owner Matt Ishbia, who made headlines himself in that series. He wants to win, and Monty Williams was not his hire. So there's something to be said for that aspect as well. When a coach, or even football, a quarterback predates a new owner or a new general manager, very often they want to pick their own people. So he made the decision, the new Suns owner makes the decision to dismiss Monty immediately after game 6. It happened right away. And he made the GM do the dirty work. That was the report out there. It was actually the GM, James Jones, who called Monty over the weekend to deliver the news that he'd been fired. I mean, this is after he wins an NBA Coach of the Year award and gets the Suns to the NBA Finals. I mean, the Suns were a punchline for jokes in the NBA in the Western Conference, but they become, or they did become, one of the top teams in the West. And again, they retool their lineup and then lose Kevin Durant for a good portion of that first, what was it, month before they finally get him on the court. Chris Paul's hurt again. How is that Monty's problem? Well, it's Monty's problem. It's not Monty's fault. But according to the reports out there, the owner, Matt Ishbia, really wasn't a fan of Monty Williams and didn't need a whole lot of persuading. Game 6 and the abysmal performance on their own court was enough. So we'll see what happens for Phoenix moving forward. Remember, DeAndre Ayton didn't play in Game 6 either. But as Doc Rivers points out, while he may have 2 years left on his contract, no one is safe in this business. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I firmly believe Monty Williams will have a new job quickly. His resume and his track record with players speaks for itself. But as for the Sixers, I want you to hear it again. Joel Embiid didn't call out his coach. In fact, I would say this is not only throwing his teammates under the bus, but maybe this raises a red flag for the front office since he's complaining about the guys around him and James.
You can't win alone. I can't win alone. Me and James, we just can't win alone. You know, that's why basketball is played 5-on-5. So, you know, we just need everybody to just, you know, try to keep finding ways to get better, and, you know, we'll be fine.
I can't get over that. And yes, I did say that 3 times on purpose. I literally cannot get over that. You and James, who were trying to win alone, had 9 turnovers while you were trying to win alone. As I say, PJ Tucker, once he nearly airballed his first three-pointer. Actually, he may have airballed his first three-pointer attempt. But then he has 11 points in the first quarter while you two are not hitting anything. Then when Al Horford is shutting you down, still you've got Tobias Harris, who scores 19. Tyrese Maxey throws in another 17. He didn't shoot well, but he's so active, he's all over the court. Not a whole lot of help off the bench in this one. It was really, and this is even in a blowout, it was really Sixers, starters, or bust. But the Celtics defense should get some credit. And I'm stunned that Joel pointed the fingers at everyone else and didn't take responsibility for what he did wrong in this series. As I say, he shot poorly on Sunday, goes 0 for 4 from downtown. Some of those three-pointers he never should have taken.
It's a lot of shots, a lot of wide open ones all game long. You know, a lot of guys on this team that fought the whole year, and I appreciate appreciate them for that.
Really?
And you know, we all fought. I thought for the most part, you know, we played hard and, you know, we all cared about winning. You know, that's the best team in the league. You know, they're so talented and, you know, they got a lot of guys, you know, that can play.
Is it possible that we're taking it out of context? I mean, he said it more than once. I can't win alone. Me and James, we can't win alone. Is that a signal to the front office that James Harden needs to be re-signed? Because there's a decision looming about him in the future as well. So for Doc Rivers, for James Harden, for Joel Embiid, for the Sixers front office, which, by the way, has that tie to James Harden. That's why he wanted to play there. The GM is his former GM in Houston. What a mess. But I still can't believe he said that publicly. In fact, I can't imagine he said it in his locker room. Could you imagine standing in front of your locker room after a Game 7 loss and saying, hey, James and I need more help. But you know what? If you would say it behind my back, you better say it to my face. And I can imagine his teammates are not thrilled with that. Again, Tyrese Maxey, he was brilliant in these 4 weeks, I guess. My gosh, the NBA playoffs literally tipped off 4 weeks ago. And we're only two rounds in. Great. Tyrese Maxey, multiple games over 30. He's been amazing. He's been a third option. Tobias Harris. He's played extremely hard. He's had some tough defensive matchups. PJ Tucker, when we know what he does, he's a dog, as he likes to tell us. I can't believe that was Joel's go-to. His teammates just gave him a group hug and embraced him as he's finding out he wins the MVP for the first time in his career. He's crying. They're hugging him. They're so proud of him. And this is how he repays them for their dedication and the number of times they brought up MVP for him all season long. I'm really stunned. Jason Tatum, he had nice things to say about Joel Embiid. Apparently, they've got a relationship that extends beyond the rivalries that at this point are fairly lopsided in favor of Boston.
That was a lot of fun. I've played against him in the playoffs 3 times now, and you know I think we play him 4 times a year in the regular season. So I've had a lot of battles, and that's somebody I'm you know really close with and extremely happy for. Right, seeing him win MVP, his reaction, and like you know a lot of you guys know we train in the off season together. I see him all the time in LA. And I've seen, you know, him develop. I've seen the things that he's worked on. And I've seen the hard work that went into winning the MVP. And I even talked to him, you know, on FaceTime that night. You know, just telling him congrats. And I was truly happy for him.
It'll be interesting to see the reaction Monday, Tuesday, depending on if there are changes made in Philadelphia to what Joel Embiid said. He's generally pretty popular in the NBA as well as among media folk, and I would say as much as he can be a headline, he doesn't mind stirring the pot. He may regret the words that he said following Game 7. There's a lot of frustration there, no doubt, but the first place that he should be pointing fingers is himself. Not only because you're the MVP, you're the leader, that's what leaders do. How often do we hear quarterbacks? I'll just name one, but it's pretty standard with top flight NFL QBs. Josh Allen. How often do we hear Josh Allen blame himself for what goes wrong on the football field when his team loses? And yes, while he's involved, we know that even when a quarterback like him says, it's on me, it's all me, I got to do better, that he's deflecting for his teammates. Heck, in the NBA, how many times do we hear Jalen Brunson this playoff run say, this is on me. I was garbage. This was my fault. That's what leaders do. And while there is value to being honest, this isn't even honesty. It's not even true. I'm sorry. I just don't look at this Sixers team, and I watch as much basketball as anybody. Actually, some guy on our Facebook page during the game posts, I hope you are watching Celtics and Sixers game 7. You hope I am? If I'm not watching it, I shouldn't be doing this job. Ha ha. Still, no matter how many years I do, there's such a misconception among fans that as hosts, we just watch whatever we feel like watching. We don't actually keep up with stuff that we don't necessarily have an interest in. Just whatever. I hope you're having a great day, but I also hope you're watching some basketball.
Oh, yeah. Game 7. That was tonight. That was today.
Whoa. How did I miss that? You watch these playoffs. And yeah, while Joel and James had some big games, he's hit or miss. It's one amazing game, two poor games. One amazing game, and then a disappearing act the rest of the series. That's who you're going to put in the same category as you. But even so, Joel Embiid played really poorly in the last five quarters of the Sixers season. 1-for-5 from beyond the arc for James Harden. 0-for-4 for Joel Embiid on Sunday. The two of them combined for 9 turnovers of the 12 total for Philadelphia. 9. Actually, Doc Rivers, what happened in the third quarter in Boston?
I think it was 3 or 4 turnovers in a row. One was a flagrant.
Oh, yeah.
And then I think Joe turned it over. Then James had a layup that the ball kind of slipped out of his hand. That led to a flagrant. I think we go up 10 on that. And after that, we never played right again.
He's pointing to a couple of turning points. Remember, James Harden was going for a layup. He missed it. But because he was up high enough, his elbow catches, was it the lip of Jaylen Brown? Or maybe the nose? I remember he was bleeding. It might have been his lip and his nose. He had blood stoppers. Maybe it's just tissue. But he had the two thingies up his nose. But he also had a bloody lip, if I remember correctly. Or maybe that was blood bleeding down. He got clocked in the face and ends up earning the flagrant foul. And then remember, Jaylen was also falling into the Sixers bench. Now, he had fouled James Harden. He had grabbed him. They were both going for a loose ball right in front of the Sixers bench. Jaylen has grabbed Harden and he's got a handful of jersey and tries to pull him back. Harden hits the deck. Brown goes flying into the Sixers bench. Was it George Niang who grabbed his leg, I think, and actually tried to trip him? But then Jaylen has some choice words for the bench. And so both Niang and Brown get the technical fouls. And then you have the flagrant on James Harden. Not intentional, but it happens. I mean, there are way too many flagrant fouls in these playoffs. The turnovers were brutal. Even as you've got Jason Tatum and the Celtics heating up, you see that the Sixers are wilting. They're wilting. By the way, our favorite NBA analyst, Damian Lillard, using his Twitter with this reaction. Okay, so one more time. Let's hear what Joel Embiid had to say, and then I'll give you Dame's reaction. Joel not showing his teammates the same courtesy that they showed him all year.
You can't win alone. I can't win alone. Me and James, we just can't win alone. You know, that's why basketball is played 5-on-5. So, you know, we just need everybody to just, you know, try to keep finding ways to get better. And, we'll be fine.
Damian Lillard, who has 3.2 million followers, by the way. Remember, he was the one who was so quick to react when, who was it that got fired? That he was so quick to react to, we out here firing championship coaches. Oh my gosh, who was that? Yes, Mike Budenholzer. Thank you, Producer Jay. So Coach Bud gets fired in Milwaukee after they are out in the first round, regardless of whether or not they had the best record in the NBA this season. That doesn't matter. Or they're 2 years removed from a championship, right? Who cares? Damian Lillard says we're out here firing championship coaches. And then today, as he hears that from Joel Embiid, Damian Lillard's response is, huh? Question mark. Oh, my goodness. I appreciate that. Not sure. Ryan calling my attention to Dame's reaction. I hadn't seen it before that. So thank you, Ryan, for listening and passing it along. Gross. Like, the whole thing is just gross. Doubling down. Joel Embiid sucking it up in this game and then doubling down on it. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Both the Heat and the Lakers move on Friday. We knew the Nuggets were already there. So a little bit from those two winning teams. Later, you'll hear what Steve Kerr had to say about the Warriors, who are not going to repeat as champions, though they gave it a good run there for a bit. Also, we got a Game 7 on Monday on the ice. Meanwhile, the Vegas Golden Knights have returned to the conference final. So a lot happening. Love to hear from you. Can answer our Sixers question on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. Top of the hour, Steve Hewitt from the Boston Herald. Crazy to think about everything the Celtics have gone through in the last year, and yet they're back in the East Finals. Experience matters. And there is no shortcut to it. I am firmly convinced. All the sports I've watched and covered over the last 20 years, experience does matter.
It's cliches. You know, that shit sounds.
What? I mean, thank you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
LeBron back to Schroeder. Schroeder driving down the middle, runner in the lane. No good. Tipped in by AD. Laker lead is 15, 66 to 51. Driving down the middle, runner to AD. Slammed up. And AD steals the inbounds pass and they foul him. Oh, the Lakers feel it now. LeBron dribbling toward the basket. Got to the rim, lays it up and in. Plus a foul. The Lakers are up. 15. Warriors are the defending champs, and now they are officially out. Game over. Series over. Lakers win it. 122 to 101.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Going back to Friday night, the Los Angeles Lakers, champions in 2020. They end up back in the Western Conference Finals with a decisive victory over the Golden State Warriors. So the defending champions are done in this game. LeBron James with 30 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists. So typical of a guy who's got a ton of championship heart and medal and experience, obviously. He wasn't the only one. Anthony Davis, while he didn't shoot... He didn't shoot the way that he can, depending upon the shots that he takes. He only actually had 9 field goal attempts, but he had 17 points and 20 rebounds. 20 rebounds. And while he was on the court, because of his defense, and the Lakers had really tried to highlight that over the course of the series, the team was plus 31 when he was on the court. That was the highest plus minus number of any of the Lakers in that game, including LeBron James. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It's the Lakers and it's the Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals. It's the 1 seed and the 7 seed. I think the Lakers turned out to be the 7 seed, right? You certainly will get to see LeBron and Anthony Davis try to use their experience. But the Nuggets, while it hasn't been in the NBA Finals or with the result of a ring, they've got a lot of playoff games logged now too. And the way that Jamal Murray is playing, the way that Nikola Jokic is playing with 3 triple-doubles in their victory over the Suns, he's going to be a load. He's going to be a load. So that series tips off on Tuesday. For LeBron, to be able to shoot as well as he did in front of the crowd there in Los Angeles, to not have to go back to Golden State for game seven. Who, all of this, not only giving them a couple of extra days off, but man, what a statement.
Nothing but my utmost respect for their organization. But as far as the players, you know, Steph, Draymond, and Clay, those are the guys I've had the most battles with. Those are the guys that I've been in a foxhole with, in a war, I'm sorry, with or against. And nothing but respect for them. Obviously for the franchise as well, and for us as a franchise, I mean, it's, you know, tonight in general, it was great to be able to play one of our most efficient games, one of our best games of the series, and it started because of the defensive matchup that we had. We defended at a high level, and when we do that, then we can be extremely good. And I thought we was locked in as close to 40 minutes as possible tonight.
So LeBron James, Anthony Davis, the new look Lakers. Remember, this is a team that also turned over a good portion of their lineup at the trade deadline. And yet somehow, after starting 2-10 this season and having to win 8 of their last 10 just to make it into the play-in tournament, they are still standing.
That's what real men do.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. As for Steve Kerr, some pointed comments. I don't think they were meant to be critical. Actually meant to be a compliment for the Golden State Warriors, the returning core, of course. They also were missing major pieces. Andrew Wiggins was out for a good chunk of the season when they were trying to make that push. Remember, he had a personal affair that kept him away from the team. Gary Payton Jr. didn't play for most of the season. They traded away James Wiseman, so that experiment, went by the wayside. I mean, they also had, around the championship core, new guys. And the biggest challenge for them, as much as Steve's comments, I think, were meant to be more complimentary of their effort to get at least to this point in the postseason, they sucked on the road. They were brutal away from Chase Center, winning 8 games all year, the entire regular season, in which there are 41 road games. They won 8 of them. They were 8-33 away from the Bay Area. That's why they ended up as a 6th seed. That's why they had to fight and scratch and claw for the playoffs. Now, give them credit for eliminating Sacramento. A lot of that was probably the experience. And Steph Curry, for sure. But this formula with them definitely requires tweaking. So you'll hear what Steve Kerr had to say. Plus, Jimmy Butler does it again. Also, the Golden Knights, well, in their short franchise history, they've got a lot of success. The Edmonton Oilers running into another buzzsaw, another early exit. I sure believe Maple Leafs fans can empathize. So we'll get to more playoff results from the weekend. Top of the hour, Steve Hewitt of the Boston Herald, who was there for Game 7 in Boston. And wait until I tell you what happened to Mom on Mother's Day. Oh, my goodness. And also why my car smells like gas on the inside. Yep, on the inside. Poor Princess Leia. She doesn't deserve this. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Jimmy dribbles right. Double team comes. Jump pass to Gate. Bounce pass to Bam. Bam gets it. Throws it down as the entire defense was up top. Inbound to Stroop. He gets it defensive. He'll dribble it down the floor. No foul call. The Eastern Conference semifinal between the Knicks and Miami belongs to the Heat.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Jason Jackson on Miami Heat Radio as it's yet another rally and another Jimmy Butler memorable performance to eliminate the Knicks in what was game number 6. And they get to do it in front of the home crowd, similar to the Lakers formula, right? Both these teams avoiding a game 7 on the road. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, asking you the question of what to do now about the Sixers if the front office comes to you and is seeking some counsel. This tweet, A-Law Radio, get rid of Doc and get better off the bench players. I'd keep Embiid, Maxey, Melton, House, and McClung. I do think there'll be much consternation, criticism, crying in Philadelphia over the Sixers, but no doubt this Joel Embiid comment will be the number one headline. Ken says on Twitter, will this latest collapse for the Sixers cost Doc Rivers his job? I wouldn't call it a collapse. The Celtics were the better team by record. They were the home team. They were the higher seed. I don't think you can call it a collapse. The Sixers won game 4 in overtime. They got blown out in, well, the Celtics in game number 5 did not protect their home court. The Sixers end up in game number 6. They're in the fourth quarter, except their offense does a great disappearing act and Jason Tatum rises. And then in game 7, they get blown out. I'm not sure I would call that a collapse. Even Tatum said we were on the ropes in game number 6. So you can find us on Twitter or on Facebook. And I look forward to reading more of your comments. Jimmy Butler, he is a beast. Butler the Beast. I don't know if playoff Jimmy is a thing, but man, do I love to watch him perform this time of the year.
It means we are one step closer to our goal, which we already knew that we were capable of from the jump. When you talk about from the beginning of the season, we got 8 more to get. Like I always say, we always going to be in this thing together. I'm so, so proud of all of my guys for playing as hard as we did today. And like I said, we got 8 more.
When you get to one step like this, you have great gratitude because there's a lot of teams that would love to be in this position. And we've had to fight and claw, to earn everything that we've gotten in this postseason.
That is so true. I love that wisdom from Eric Spoelstra. And he's actually admitted earlier in this postseason that the adversity they faced, having to play their arses off, having to find some will, digging down deep, the grit, the toughness, the adversity of barely making the playoffs, having to go through that play-in tournament, nearly getting eliminated by Chicago, we could be looking at a completely different situation now. And then the way that they have used their defense and their rebounding, they're causing their opponents to just get all out of sorts. They're physical, they're in your face, they're aggressive. And yes, there's Jimmy Butler, who had 24 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists in the closeout game. But yeah, this is knockdown, dragout. This reminds me more of the late 80s, early 90s basketball, and Eric Spoelstra calls it old school.
That was the modern day, shoot 63s, score 140, flying up and down the court, aesthetically beautiful. They'll definitely take it. There's been nothing easy about this season this year, and that proved to be true in our closeout game. That was just an absolute grind.
As for the New York Knicks, Jalen Brunson, who's blamed himself for a lot of what's gone wrong, even though he's the reason they were still alive in a game 6, his tenacity and his leadership really impressed me as the man in this series, right? So Julius Randle, maybe the more decorated player, I guess, if you look all-stars, yada, yada. Didn't he win an award last year? Which one was he? Oh, this year?
This year, too, yeah. He just won an All-NBA third team.
Okay, but like, wasn't there an individual honor last year? No, the year before. It was the year before that he was brilliant, right? Last year he struggled.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, anyway, he's maybe the more decorated player overall, but Jalen Brunson, the driving force, and he was sick over them coming up short.
We did a lot of great things this season. We obviously want to continue to keep playing and have the opportunity to. It stings a little bit. It's definitely a learning experience, but if you don't win, you lose.
It's incredible wisdom right there. If you don't win, you lose, baby. You're out. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Now, the Warriors. So, again, these were Friday night games. Miami Heat advance back to the Eastern Conference Finals. We know they'll play Boston. The Lakers avoid a Game 7 by trouncing the Warriors. And after LeBron has 30, Anthony Davis has 17 points, 20 rebounds. They don't even force a Game 7. Some reflective, I would say, pensive comments. Now, Steve Kerr is always very thoughtful, but obviously he's had all season to think about the conundrum that is this Warriors team.
To be fair, I think this team probably, you know, ultimately maxed out. I think, you know, we were barely in the playoff picture for most of the year. So to make that push, to get there, to win an epic first round series, and then, you know, to give the Lakers, you know, a fight in this series and have our chances, that puts us in the top, among the top, you know, eight teams in the league. That's probably where we should be. This is not a championship team. You know, if we were, we'd be moving on. So you can look at the year in total and see all the ups and downs, and there was all kinds of stuff that went on and adversity that hit, but our group stayed together and competed till the end and made a pretty good run.
I think this group definitely maxed out what we could do. You know, wasn't a championship team. We didn't win it. So, sucks. But that's our reality. That doesn't mean our core changes. That doesn't mean our core can't do it again. Like, I mean, they said we couldn't do it again last year. We did it. They said we missed the playoffs this year. We did it. But guess what? We don't do moral victory. So we lost. And this was not a championship group as it stands. And but we have champions. And we're made up of champions. And when you are a champion, when you have that mindset, you just go back to the drawing board, retool, refigure it out, and go do it again. And that's what will be our focus. But it wasn't a championship group. As we can see, we're sitting here and the season's over.
I mean, we lost, so it's like a hard truth at the end of the journey. It's not anything you allow yourself to. No competitor believes that until you're proven that you're not a championship team. And that's what, you know, getting beaten in a playoff series means. Basketball's over for this year. So felt it in the fourth quarter with about 7 minutes left. You know, just really never heard that from us before in terms of trying to make sense of, you know, losing a series like we did, unless, you know, it's been in the finals. So got to accept it, move on, and, you know, try to be better next year.
You hear the comments of first Steve Kerr, who uses the phrase maxed out. And that went viral. There were a lot of headlines that revolved around Steve Kerr's use of this group has maxed out. His point is, hey, we were barely in the playoffs for a good portion of the season. We were underperforming. So I give us credit for getting here. And yes, once you get in the playoffs, this group is a tough out. But in terms of their talent and what they accomplished all season, the expectations were pretty low. Now, Draymond Green agrees with Steve Kerr, as does Steph Curry. They weren't a championship team because they're done. They're not saying, hey, we weren't a championship caliber team and we underperformed or we maxed out. What they're saying is, well, we're not a championship team because we're not still playing. So that's the obvious answer. It'll be interesting to see what they do around their core. I mean, they have committed to this group. I can't imagine. I would be stunned if either Draymond, Steph, or Klay finished their careers anywhere else. I would be stunned by that. The Warriors owe their current popularity to that group. They've made more money for that franchise than you would have ever thought possible. I mean, four championships in a decade, actually under a decade. But the profile of that franchise will never be higher. It's amazing. And again, I don't think this group will ever split up. I could be horribly wrong, maybe much later in their careers, but what will the Warriors do around Steph, Clay, Draymond?
It stings real bad. It's going to sting all summer. But, I mean, first time in a long time that Dre, Steph, and I were healthy and not making the finals. So it's rare to be off during this time of year, but I can tell you we gave it everything we had and just stings. But, I mean, I believe that we have greatness in our future still.
I believe that we have greatness in our future still. Love that team and that core for reminding me why I fell for basketball in the first place. Why I fell in love with the NBA in the first place. There's a lot of things I don't love about today's NBA, but there are teams out there that I really enjoy watching still. Sure, they all shoot a ton of threes, but in the Warriors' case, they share the basketball. Now they play on the edge so they can get fast and loose when it comes to turnovers. But yes, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, the Splash Brothers are worth the price of admission. But the way they share the basketball, the way they can run the court, it's just fun. It's fun to watch the Warriors when they're playing well. It can be infuriating the way they turn the ball over, but it's a lot of fun. I enjoy watching the Miami Heat. I know it's not necessarily Picasso on a hard court, but I like the physical, tough, aggressive defense. We saw that from the Celtics in game 6 and 7 as they close out the Sixers and come back from the point of elimination. So straight ahead, Steve Hewitt of the Boston Herald about what the heck happened in Boston on Sunday afternoon. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Your points are worth more than you think. This first-class flight to Tokyo, you can book it in your credit card portal for 1.4 million points. Yowzers. With PointMe, you could redeem just 120,000 points for that same flight. Now that's more like it. PointMe gets you 6 to 12 times the value for your points. Your credit card points are worth more than you think. PointMe. Better flights. Fewer points.
Get started today at point.me. That's point.me.
This is Flea for This Little Light, a podcast about falling in love with music. I started a nonprofit music school about 20 years ago called the Silver Lake Conservatory of Music. The reason that I started doing this podcast was music education. I'll be speaking with Rick Rubin, Thundercat, Stuart Copeland, Margot Price, Corey Henry, Cynthia Erivo, Sheila E., and Patti Smith.
Please listen and follow This Little Light, a presentation of Cadence 13 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL Plasma Center and be rewarded for your generosity.